Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from last juz, there is a verse in Surah Al-Rahman that some scholars say is the shortest verse in the Quran. Which verse is it? Answer below, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Of course, dear brothers and sisters, as we are in the last few nights of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all, Allahumma ameen. I want to remind you all, inshallah ta'ala, to please help us reach our goal, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, our fundraising goal. We hope you've benefited throughout the month from all that we've put out there, and of course, throughout the year, and throughout the last 7 years, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with what Yaqeen has done to benefit you, inshallah ta'ala, your journey to Allah. And we've reached so many more people, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, in this month and beyond. Please invest, inshallah. I know that these are the nights in which people are the most generous. Even if you've given before, I ask you, inshallah ta'ala, to give, and invite others to give as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And of course, this is not just to Yaqeen, but to all the worthy causes and institutions that are out there. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah ta'ala, with that, Sheikh Abdullah, it's great to have you, as always. And we've got Mufti Abdul Wahhab Wahid. The better version, man. Like, Mufti Abdul Rahman Wahid has been coming on.
Don't let him hear that shit.
He's going to hear it, man. He's going to hear it, man. He just always comes on.
He's already bullying me, you know? He's bullying me more.
Just between.
Bullying me in the basketball court.
He bullies us, too. He bullies everybody, man. He just comes in.
We need to get Sheikh Abdullah, then he's
like, we don't even invite him to the show, and he just tells us, why am I coming on 34? You know? No, of course, man. We love all you guys, man. MashaAllah. The Wahid brothers are all gems. And of course, he didn't claim Miftah, by the way, in his episode. Just letting you know, he didn't claim it. So I'm gonna say, you know.
You avoid us quite a bit now. We've got to figure that out. Yeah.
So for those of you that are unfamiliar with Miftah Institute, check them out. Amazing work, mashallah, that they're doing. Seminary work, classes, courses. I've been blessed to do several courses with Miftah. I was there for the opening of the campus, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, before it was even released to the public. I had the blessing of being there, and really proud of everything that Miftah is doing, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And Mufti Abdul Wahhab is definitely the hardest working Wahid brother, by far. What do we do about Sheikh Abdullah Wahid? What do we do about him, man?
I mean, where do we start, you know? But the first thing, of course, like, he's a hardened soul. But at the same time, he's an older brother, so he's a dictator. So we got to figure out how to deal with that.
You got an interesting dynamic, man. A bully, a dictator. Yeah, it sounds like you got some serious little brother trauma.
Little brother trauma.
Yeah.
But they've been nice to me recently, so it's going away a little bit. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you, Sheikh, for being so kind to us and saying those nice things about Miftah. But your du'as and all the mashayikh and our parents.
Jazakumullah khair. I'd like to consider myself one of y'all's brothers. I feel like a wahid all the time, man. Allah bless you.
The tallest one.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. But not the best of you. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. May Allah bless you all. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So our ayat are remarkably tied together. And I think that, subhanAllah, as we are reflecting before we got started on which verses we're going to cover, there was a serious aha moment just about, subhanAllah, the clear theme of this juz, of not being distracted by this world from the hereafter. And the heart of the believer in particular is so connected to the hereafter that it is never deluded by this world. And we're going to see that in all three of our portions, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. In Juz 27, Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for goodness except goodness? Any reward for excellence except for excellence? And we spoke about that. But here in Juz 28, subhanAllah, you come to the end of Surah Al-Jum'ah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O you who believe, when the call for Jum'ah is made, rush to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave off your business. Leave off your trade. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Leave it behind you. That is better for you. Indeed, if only you knew. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And so when the prayer is over, then disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah frequently so that you may be successful. So once again, it's still going to be in the dhikr of Allah that you're going to be successful. So whether you are in the place of dhikr, doing the worship of dhikr that we find in Jum'ah prayer, listening to the dhikr, listening to that reminder, even when you leave the masjid, leave Salatul Jum'ah and go back to pursuing this world, then your true success is going to be found in the dhikr that you make and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ Wallahu khayrul raziqin. And when they saw the fanfare along with the caravan, then they flocked to it, leaving you, almost leaving you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing on the minbar. Say, what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better than the amusement of this world. And Allah is the best provider. Wallahu khayrul raziqin. Allah is the best provider. SubhanAllah, so it's interesting here. Because Allah is saying, even when you go back and you pursue this world, know that your success is going to come from your dhikr, from your remembrance of Allah. And if you see something that causes you to be distracted from the place of remembrance and the act of remembrance, know that the one who provides is the same one that you are remembering, right? And so, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ever let you go broke or let you lose out on something because of your worship and dedication to Him. It's not going to happen. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always reward good with good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you better. And Allah will give you perspective throughout it all. So don't think, as we're talking about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the provider that you are remembering is going to deprive you because of your remembrance of Him. That's not going to happen. So remember where success comes from. Remember where provision comes from. And there's something very beautiful here. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come to the prayer, come to success. You will not truly come to an understanding of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decree of Allah, until you understand that the same source of your success is the source of your sustenance. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully ties together here in the end of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Finally, we find that the scholars mention that of the rewards of ihsan, of the rewards of excellence, is that you taste the sweetness of the deed here before the reward of the deed in paradise. And so nothing of this world could tempt you away from it anymore. And so Qiyam, for example, which we do a lot of in these last 10 nights, is Ihsan. But what do you gain out of it? You gain the sweetness of Salah as well. So what's going to delude you from that Salah after this? What's going to delude you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this? And that is truly of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah azza wa jal unlocks beauty in deprivation. And that is as we fast, as we leave behind this world. So we leave off food and drink throughout the day, and we learn something more fulfilling than food and drink. We leave off sleep at night and we find sweetness in leaving off that sleep at night. We leave off our business and our trade for Jumu'ah and we find there's something even better that is found within that Jumu'ah, within that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah azza wa jal allow us to never be distracted from what is better for us in the first place. Allahumma ameen. With that, inshallah ta'ala. Shaykh Abdullah. Allahu
bayyakum, shaykhna. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. There's a word he said at the very end, which is distraction. And the ultimate distraction is the distraction of shirk, is worshiping other than Allah or something along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when something is directed, when you direct and devote yourself and everything about you to the Creator, the one that created you, there's going to be things that will want things, people, whether it's a person or a place or something, that will call you away and distract you from that ultimate goal and purpose of life. I want to capitalize on that, on this verse in the chapter of Munafiqun, verse number 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, it's a message to all of us, it's to all of the believers that we should pay close attention to, where he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah, wa man yaf'al dhalika fa'ulaika humul khasirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, do not let your possessions and your offspring make you negligent from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever does that, they are from the losers. So the first thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling the believers, because what the message entails will be suitable for the believers. Not meaning that it is not for everyone else. It is not a generic, general message for all of mankind. But the ones that will take heed to it are the ones that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones that will take it seriously and have the intention to be consistent upon that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, la tulhikum, and I want us to understand this verb here. It's the same verb that many of us may know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alhaakum at-takathur. You have been diverted or you have been distracted from gathering things in abundance. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيُلْهِيهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. He said, leave those people drinking and eating and being diverted with false hopes. They will soon know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, particularly this verse, do not let what distract you? Amwalukum wa la awladukum. This is interesting because the individual will say, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting me from something. It makes sense. Obviously, the objects of prohibition would be something that is inherently bad for me. That's not the case always. And here he's saying money and children. One may think, okay, Allah provided for me this. Why is he telling me don't let this distract me? He provided it for me. It's important for us to remember that everything that is other than Allah, that is creation, is an ayah. It is a sign. It is a way that Allah communicates to you, with you, about you. It's a sign. And with these signs, it's important for us to do the things and indulge upon them or enjoy them in a way that the creator of these signs or this creation has legislated and has guided us to use or to raise or to benefit from. Here, money and children. لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So أَمْوَالُكُمْ, your money, that which you have been given, that is something that is, some would say, neutral, that you can use it for that which is good or that which is evil. And that money that you obtain, whether it's the way you're obtaining it or how much time you're using to obtain it, maybe it could be using it in a haram way or obtaining it in a way that's not permissible by lying and cheating and stealing, or if it's a way that is permissible, but you're not with your family. You're not spending time with your family. You're not doing something else that can relieve the stress, for example. Or it is something that the money in and of itself is the ultimate purpose and goal, which could be very dangerous. And that's why subhanAllah, when he mentioned in the verse, فَاسْعَوِ لَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, when you are there, the remembrance of Allah, everything stops. You're putting it in its proper place. You're stopping the buying and selling, which is permissible, and dare we even say obligatory for the ones that support the family. You're stopping that, and that teaches us prioritization. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Interesting. He repeats the negation, وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ, and not your children. How? Allah provided for me my children. There are people that I know that are not able to have children. Allah provided my children for me. But when it is the time for the prayer, for example, when our children need to wake up for salah, when it's time to teach them good, and they may not understand it, but we as parents, we persist in a way that is conducive for their development. We don't hold back the message. We give the message in a way that's conducive for them, but we make sure that the integrity of the message is there, it's maintained. And this is why we have a Muslim household and not a house full of Muslims, right? We understand that the message of Islam, the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is paramount, is over everything else. So when we talk about our children, do not let the love of our children that we have for them, which Allah has given us, do not choose that over the legislation and the love of legislation. That's where it can be problematic. And that's why he said, لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادِكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Just how is mentioned in Surah Al-Jum'ah of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah. The dhikr is when you remembrance of Allah, فَتَذَكَّرْ. Or the dhikr is the remembrance of Allah which causes you to make statements to remember him more, or the ones that are around you even more. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deen of Islam. Do not let your money nor your children distract you and divert you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And whoever does that, they will be from the losers. Make no mistake, those that may be looked at in a lofty position, were they negligent of the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to where they forgot themselves? And in the process, they were gaining a lot of money. And what happens when our children may see that, they may think that this is the correct way. So when looking at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us the things that he has given you, there is a methodology in approaching how we use it, how we embark upon it, how we deal with it in a way that is befitting to Allah, to our deen, to us as human beings in this life, to where we will be with him in the next life, because we do not want to be from those that are the losers. We want to be from the faizin, the successful ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from that. Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Shaykh. Jazakallah khair, Mashaykh. This was an honor to be on. May Allah bless you all for your beautiful reflections. The idea, Bismillah ar-Rahim, that Shaykh Umar and Shaykh Abdullah were speaking about, which is the dhikr of Allah. Both the Mashaykh spoke about the idea of how the dhikr of Allah is the ultimate objective, Neither should our business push us away from Allah's dhikr. Neither should our family push us away from Allah's dhikr. However, what a loss it would be that if we remain attached to all of these actions and spaces, but the state of the heart remains completely vague and void of the reality of Allah's remembrance. What a loss it would be that if the space is filled, but the state of the heart is still empty. Because quite often we believe that the space that we fill equates the state of the heart, which is not true. Because there's many that fill a space, but their heart is completely void of that space. And an example of this were the people that would fill the space of Madinatul Munawwara. They would fill the space of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Pray side by side with the Sahabas. Be there together in the gatherings of the Prophet. They filled the space, but the state was completely void of any belief. But rather they were known as the Munafiqun of Medina, the hypocrites of Medina. They thought that they were there. They filled the space of the masjid, but the state of the heart is the ultimate objective. So the idea as we come to these last nights of the month of Ramadan is that we have filled the entire month with this beautiful worship. We have beautified our nights, beautified our days, beautified our homes. But the goal is, can we make sure that we have also beautified our hearts? Because the companions, their main goal was the acceptance of their ibadah. And they were always worried about whether or not there was a sense of hypocrisy within them. Well, there's a narration where a sahaba by the name of Hanzala radiyallahu an left his home one day and he bumps into Abu Bakr radiyallahu an. And as he bumps into Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, he asks him, "Where are you going?" He says, "Nafiq Hanzala." Hanzala has become a munafiq. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu says, are you okay? You're Hanzala, you're a great sahaba, a great companion. Why would you say such a thing?" And he responds to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu by saying that when I'm sitting with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is as if I can see Jannah and Jahannam. I can feel it, it's present. And when I'm with my family, I'm inside of my home, I don't feel that anymore. I don't sense the same feeling. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, on hearing this description and this disparity as they saw it to be, he says, "Well, maybe I'm a munafiq too. Let's go to the Prophet together." And they go to the Prophet ﷺ and they narrate and they share their sentiments. And the Prophet of Allah says, "This is not nifaq, and by any means, by any measure, if you remain at the point of iman that you are with me, asafahtum al-malaika, angels will come and shake your hands." The idea is not to say that maybe we're a munafiq, but the idea is to keep in mind that there are qualities that we want to protect ourselves from. And those qualities, if they enter into our hearts, well, this month really benefit us then. Because a space is filled, but the state is empty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah highlights these three qualities that we'll mention. Number one, he says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُهُمْ تُعَجِبُكَ أَجِسَامُهُمْ. When you see them, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ, when you see them, they always want to be such that their presence is felt. They will never enter into a gathering where they're not applauded. They will never enter into a gathering where their presence isn't felt. And hence, if their presence isn't felt, they will never truly feel like any gathering is beneficial without their name being called out and their opinion being heard. وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعَ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. They always want to be heard. They always want to have the last opinion. They always want to make sure that their voice is the loudest voice in the room. Allah is describing in this passage the qualities of a hypocrite. Not that it's a bad thing to be felt that a presence is there or your opinion is being heard, but if that's the only gathering that I will go to, if that is the only masjid that I will go to, if that's the only gathering that I will populate where everyone knows my name, where everyone hears my opinion, then am I really doing it for the right reason? This is why it's important and significant to protect ourselves from this nifaq, that we balance our public worship with private worship that nobody else knows about. And Allah then, lastly, the third quality, which I know time's coming to an end, but the third quality is يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ, that they always feel like the world is out against them. That every shriek and cry is for their name, is out against them, that everyone's against me. A believer doesn't live in this type of anxiety. A munafiq, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. That we want the space that we fill to also have an impact in the state of our heart. And the greatest way to do that is to avoid these qualities and to make sure that we balance our worship with public worship and private worship. so the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can truly be in fact impactful. Wallahu a'lam.
They're really insecure. I mean, subhanAllah, like hypocrites are super insecure. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Like the believers have a sense of validation of, to the point of, they don't even fear the blame of the blamer. Like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
The hypocrites, even if you're not talking about them, they feel like you're talking about them because they know how empty they are.
And they're always talking about you. And then when najah min ash-shaytan, they're always speaking about you. They're always yalmizun al-mutawwi'een. They're always making fun of you, or you're not doing enough, you're not doing this. Which is really what sometimes happens to us. May Allah protect us.
That's what they say about the Israelis, by the way. Every accusation is a confession.
Wow.
Everything the Israelis accuse the Palestinians of is actually a confession of who they are. SubhanAllah. And of course, that's a proper description of like the IOF, the Israeli occupation forces, and their hypocrisy with the world that's on site right now for all of us to see. Sheikh, there's something, subhanAllah, like, first of all, I never made the connection between how powerful the ayat are. Like, عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَسَعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't let your wealth and children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Rush to the remembrance of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may succeed, so that you don't be a loser. Right? Like, it's all so intricately connected. And one of the things that comes to my mind, honestly, like, when you go to Medina, even if you're not that religious of a person, it's really hard to sin sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, right? Like, it's hard not to be overwhelmed by how beautiful that environment is. The spirit of the Prophet ﷺ that has clearly turned the spirit of that city into such a unique spirit. Can you imagine a person sitting there for 9 years with the Prophet ﷺ giving khutbah and praying next to Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and still not getting it? What a loser.
What a loser.
Like, when you talk about ulaikum al-khasirun, what a loser. Like, what a loser that you are to have sat there a decade and not been able to see the beauty right in front of you. Truly, subhanAllah, there are hypocrites buried in the Bakhir amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How bad do you have to be to have lived in that and to not, you know, been able to see the beauty of it? And the reality is, and this is a theme throughout the Quran, is that you can't see the beauty of Allah's creation. You can't see the beauty of Allah's revelation. You can't see the beauty of Allah's prophet if your heart is just bent upon being ugly and covered and concealed. And so if you're not going to be distracted from your wealth, you're going to be distracted from your kids. You're not going to be distracted from your kids. You're going to be distracted from your career. If you're not going to be distracted by your career, you're going to be distracted by your pursuit of power. You're not going to be distracted by that, your prestige, not that, your appearance. The point is that all of these distractions, at the end of the day, are blinding you from seeing the most obvious beauties in front of you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in front of you. How do you sit in the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not be moved? You know? But subhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was there. Like, compare Ibn Ubay to Najashi. Like, Najashi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hears secondhand from thousands of miles away in Abyssinia, and his eyes are filled with tears, and he is in love with the Prophet saying, if I wasn't distracted by the mulk, if I didn't have a responsibility to be in this position here, protecting the Muslims, I would come to you and carry your sandals, Ya Rasulullah. And Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul is looking at him for a decade, and he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it.
He's too blind. It's something else, subhanAllah. It's really something to think about. Like, what a loser.
What a loser. That's because, like, the idea, what you just mentioned, Shaykh, like, they're overwhelmed by making sure that they haven't lost their prestige in the pursuit of becoming this believer. No, we have to leave certain aspects of our own presence, persona, in order to get closer to Allah. Like, that's a part of the process. We may have to leave a little bit, but that's the idea of man taraka shay'an lillah. Allah is always going to replace it with that which is better. Even the idea of that, who man akramu nas, annasu ma'adin kama adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda, khiyaruhum fil jahiliyyah, khiyaruhum fil islam ila fuqi. Like, even the Prophet is saying the best people are the ones that were the best in jahiliyyah if they simply became Muslim and accepted. Like, Abdullah ibn Ubay would have been given his flowers if he chose.
Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham.
They would have been given it, you know, just they don't want to lose that prestige. I want to get that, you know, that applause.
And that's why jealousy, you know, it's so important, you know, to monitor and to watch, because I mean, ultimately, it was that jealousy, that arrogance, that leads to jealousy from Shaytan, from Abdul bin Salul. You know, when seeing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come to Al-Medina, and the jealousy, what they seen because of that power that was there for them, is being diminished. Mm. So it leads to, what tactic is Shaytan going to use me to basically diminish or try to lessen or weaken the message and impact of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's why it's important, subhanAllah, you know, when you see this with, you know, with Najashi, this humility, willing to accept the haqq. You know, and that is very, at times it can be difficult for some. You know, so when you look at, you know, again, the money and children, willing to accept the truth when it comes to you and accept it wholeheartedly. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. Enter to Islam wholeheartedly. The true submission. And subhanAllah, that is what a Muslim is. You know, they truly, truthfully submit. And with that being the case, subhanAllah, those are the ones that are ultimately successful.
It's interesting, but Sheikh, if I can comment on the idea of Abdullah Mubarak, rahimahullah, says the quality of a believer, which is the opposite of this ayah, is that they will go into gatherings to bring benefit to people, not to only go into gatherings where they're benefited. They're not looking for a shout out. They're looking to build people up. They're looking to be a giver, not a receiver, where the idea of these munafiqs were always looking to benefit, to be a beneficiary, to be benefit from a social construct, from a gathering. Where believers, where they're always givers, they're always looking to find a gathering where they can benefit people. That's a gathering of a believer, not a gathering where they're always the beneficiary. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, like, we even calculate whose hands we shake.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's the Waheeds, man. Your brother, when he was here, Mufti Abdurrahman, gave me perfume. I think it's perfume. It looked like mace or pepper spray. But he talked about Yadul Ulya Khairum and Yadul Sufla. And he gave the hadiah like this. So what's in your pocket, man? What are you going to give me?
Like,
what you got, man? Mashallah. No, exactly. See?
Hassan Basri.
Mufti Abdurrahman. See the
Hassan Basri.
I got to get something. You know, I'm going to pass this on to Sheikh Abdullah. Yeah, mashallah. This is, there you go.
Allahu Akbar. That's beautiful.
I'm not going to give you my iPad, man.
I'll say mashallah.
I'll give you a hug at the end.
That's all I need.
But Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It's beautiful to have you. And I think just, subhanAllah, isn't it? Like, you know, Ramadan. How can Ramadan pass you and you not be forgiven? And people need to know that they should have husn al-dhan in Allah, a good expectation of Allah, that if you're trying in the night, Allah, you'll be forgiven.
Sure.
So we connect that as well. A beautiful spirit, a beautiful season has come upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are forgiven. Allahumma innaka afu wa tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu 'anna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and have mercy on us and pardon us. It was beautiful to have you.
Allah bless you.
As always.
Allah bless you.
Beautiful to have you. As always. Barakallahu feekum. We'll see you all, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. Please keep us in your dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.